is and those kinds of things. Okay, I don't want to take any more time on that. Okay, so thank you for being here. Now for the panel. What I'd like them to do is, like we did last week, if each of you could take just a moment and as you think about this morning and the topic of community, what was the big idea to you? As it hits you this morning, maybe you're looking through a grid, maybe the Lord took you another direction, but we want to hear from you, and then we'll start our SWOT analysis from that. So, Adam, I think I'm going to start in the back and work our way down and do it this way, since you were here last week, and we'll start back there.
You know, the thought that that has really challenged me is what Pastor said about Christ has, by his one act, he's paved the way, you know, for our way of life. And our lives should reflect that. It should bleed out of us. It should become part of who we are. And so I'm really, really challenged with the idea that, as we've said, you know, church is not an event, it's a way of life. And, you know, as I think about community, as I think about our church, you know, my thought is, I wish our church could be the type of church that would be so attractive that people could look at our church and just, you know, what is going on there? And surely God must be in that place. Hmm. That's the thought that just stands out in my mind from this morning.
I was captivated by the truth that what provides the contrast between us as believers and the unbelieving world is our deep love for one another, and that doesn't happen during handshake time. That could be the starting place, but it takes purposeful, methodical, intentional building relationships with people. And we can only meet needs, as it states in the text, when we know the needs, and we can't know needs unless we know people.
For me, the big idea was really crystallized in the story that Pastor Daniel told. If you remember the car accident and the fireman who ran out and immediately took control. So for me, the big idea was that fireman had a mindset, and there was already a predisposition in his mind if something like that were to have happened. He also was trained and he was disciplined. He was ready for that event. And community doesn't just happen. For me, the big idea was it really is an internal mindset that we must have and discipline that we must have, because it doesn't come natural. And just as that officer was able to take control of the situation, we too need to look around, see what needs to be done, and take control individually.
Reading the Gospels, I'm attracted to how Jesus recruited those 12 to follow him and be a part of what he was doing, in the risks, the hardships, the fellowship of what he was about. And I believe that is the application for us today has to do more with what we read about in Acts 2. And our communion, I think is the French pronunciation, our fellowship is in the fellowship of the ministry to one another, and it is a vehicle that we influence the world through. So it is a way of life, and it is a way of life that I can be a part of. That's available to me, and that is where the excitement and joy of the Christian life is.
In thinking through what we heard this morning, and even earlier in the week when we were first asked to join the panel, I couldn't help but be reminded of John 13:35, where Jesus says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." And that's what I saw and heard this morning as a thread through everything, is that how we express our community is embedded or motivated by the love that we have for each other. No matter what the application is, no matter what the process, it's the love that we have for each other that'll hold that together, and that's what people will see.
One thought that hit me was that right doctrine and right fellowship are not mutually exclusive. And so we can have an emphasis on doctrine, but without the fellowship that accompanies that Christian doctrine, then something is really wrong. And the problem that a lot of us have and a lot of people have is that, in this passage, you have people who were coming from darkness to the light, and they're new believers. I mean, the church is brand new. And we have a church full of a lot of people who are doctrinally solid and a lot of people who have been in church really our whole lives. If I mean, a lot of us our whole lives and maybe just a couple of decades or whatever, but a long time. And what can happen is that another statement that hit me was the enemy of church has taken precedence over our lives. And so we can get caught up into rituals and everything, but if doctrine is really touching our hearts, then it's going to translate into wanting to love other believers. And so it's really a good test for us, really, how much do we embrace God? And it's not just doctrine, it's not just truth, but it's also in how we're practicing it. And this is a really great way to see that, evidence that.
Pastor Daniel made the statement this morning that the church is the demonstration of grace. And in this passage in Acts 2, the believers that were meeting together were growing close to each other and helping meet each other's needs. And I couldn't help but think back to the 9 years that we've been in this church, how so many families have met specific needs in our lives and have gotten close to us, and how that's really impacted us. And it just motivates me to want to make it a goal to meet others' needs in the way that they've shown to me.
I appreciated the statement this morning. God places believers in the body of Christ. For me, that's a fairly comprehensive statement. It starts with God. Everything is of His grace, of His power, of His goodness. And secondly, it involves you and me as believers in all of our weaknesses and our difficulties, our joys, our sorrows. And thirdly, it involves us as the body of Christ. We have a specific relationship as a result of what God has done.
What happened in the passage that the pastor used this morning followed the message of the gospel to unbelievers. And they were told to repent and believe, and they were baptized, and then they began to fellowship and break bread together and so forth. And one of the things that that really struck me is that those who were believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So here's a very, very young church, and one of the first things they do is they sell everything, and they're ready to give it to whoever needs it. I don't know where you are on that, but I would say they caught on very quickly. I mean, they're, in order for that to happen, I think there has to be a real death of self and of unselfishness. And that was the ground for their community. They didn't think they had anything that they had belonged to themselves. It belonged to everybody. And as a result, they had great joy. They lived in one accord, and they were receiving evangelism because the Lord kept adding to the church daily. So I think that, to me, was the big idea. They got the message, and they got out of themselves. You know, if you seek to find your life, you're going to lose it. If you're going to lose your life, you'll find it. They lost their lives, and they found it.
So you've heard the big idea from them, and I think the next thing we need to do is, you've already heard some strengths, so maybe we need to just add to that and put them up here on the Melamine board and come up with the specifics. So as we think about how we work out community in the church at Colonial here, what would be our strength in this area? How would you see that taking place? Who wants to be first to start us off? Go ahead, Pat.
Well, something that we experienced fairly early on was a sense of hospitality within the church body. My family and I were invited by several couples over for dinner, and just welcomed into their homes. And that's where you really get to engage other people and get to know them and be known within the body. So the sense of hospitality, I think, was a strong. And we've seen a sense, I mean, we just joined last September, becoming since about September of 2009.
Okay.
We've seen it quite a bit since. It's that feeling, the same thing like you've mentioned before, with the seminary students and their families. You know, there seems like a general strength within the body to welcome people into their homes and be hospitable.
Very good. What else would be another strength that we would have?
Well, given our strong text focus here, I think we have a great message for the world around us. And so I think what we have is attractive from a community standpoint. Are we fully using it? Well, we'll get to that, I guess. But I think what we have is very attractive.
Okay. Which I think was really capturing back here in Acts 2. You know, as people, they were definitely attracted what was taking place. Okay?
Captain? I was just going to say, when we talk about the text, if we're going to be text-based, we're going to be changed by the text. It's going to conform us. And any true communion is going to be based upon the Word, and that will shape us.
So there has to be, could we maybe just shape it this way, that there's a willingness to follow the text in the area of community? Okay. Anybody else?
I could follow up on that then. And we discussed it earlier. It's not just from the leadership within the church, but what we sensed early on and what kept us coming was the congregation has a love for the text. And so I see that as even a greater strength, because you expect it from the leadership, or hope it would be there within the leadership. But even within the congregation, there is a broad acceptance and love and thirst for the text.
Okay, so there's not only a willingness to follow, you know, generally, but the congregation seems to say, hey, I love the Word, I want to follow the Word, I want to go after the Word. Okay, so that would be definitely a strength there. Okay, what else? Matt, you want to? Oh, I'm sorry, Tim, go ahead.
I think it was two Sunday evenings ago, I needed to stay around and talk to someone, and I noticed a cluster of, I guess it was mostly singles, but I'm not sure it was limited to them, and they just kept sitting there and talking and talking and sitting there and just kind of scattered hither and yon, and I needed to talk to somebody, and that was in the way somehow, and so I was a little frustrated, but the other part of me thought, wow, that's really what it's about. So that, you know, that's a little bit like Solomon's Portico, I think.
Okay.
I know there's a mom's group that meets once a month, and they just go somewhere and eat together and have fellowship, and that's informal. And I get feedback that's they touch on things that's really meaningful. And then I also just pick up of a lot of needs get met, and you don't necessarily know about it, or you catch it out of the corner of your eye. So there is a sensitivity on the part of many to needs within the body.
So needs are met quietly, and then the one before that, specialized group. I think, Carrie, you've got a specialized group, too, that meets almost on, is it every Friday or
every other
Friday? And then there's a specialized group that you were speaking of, and then, of course, we saw the single. So that's great that you have specialized groups that are meeting at different times, different pockets. I know, Matt, you have a specialized group as well, meets early Thursday mornings. So, okay, good.
Just to add to that, I think I've had multiple conversations with people who are eager to grow in this area, and I think that's a strength. I think we haven't gotten to the weaknesses yet, but I think it is a strength to be able to have conversations with people that say, I realize I'm weak, and as a church we might have some weaknesses, but we really want to grow in this, and we, you know, we want to move forward. So I think that's great.
Okay. Which gives us a really good platform to jump from here. We really do want to grow, and the one way you learn to grow is by having an honest evaluation of your weakness, and your weaknesses, what they look like. So let's come to the weakness side if we can and say, okay, how can we as a church, first of all, can we analyze properly that we do have weaknesses, and then maybe from that we can begin to strategize in the future on how we strengthen that. Okay, who would like to go first on weakness? Right, Pat, go ahead.
Again, I can only, speaking from our experience and being relatively new in the church, what we experienced in our first several months was a sense of, it's kind of difficult to articulate clearly, but we felt we had to push through or break into the congregation, break into whatever, and it's throughout our family. It's almost like a barrier of some kind. No idea the motivations, and I'm not even beginning to speculate, but that's just a sense that we had, which drove us initially to ensure that in examining ourselves, as we're told to in 1 Corinthians 11, to ensure that we weren't the cause of that. But that was a general sense that we had of something of a barrier or a sense of, and I think it can happen oftentimes, as mentioned last week, because of the direction of the church and the strength of the church, there's a sense that we understand what's going on, and until someone else demonstrates that they also get it, there may be a reluctance to embrace or include. And that's kind of a sense
good.
We have.
That's very good. So what I wrote down here was this assimilation into the core. Sometimes you can get assimilated, but it's to the outer group, it seems like anyway, and you don't really get assimilated into the core. Have you noticed that up here? Have you noticed how you got Pat as a retired Marine and Captain Olson's a retired Navy man? You notice they're sitting on either side. Did you know? Have you noticed that? Assimilation's not really working well right now. So actually, they had assigned seats. Actually, they did have assigned seats, so good. Okay. All right, assimilation into the inner core. And that's something we have to think about and as we strategize, okay? Heidi, please.
I think in a church this size, it's easy to have surface relationships. You go out the door on a Sunday morning, you might catch a couple people and just say, hi, how are you? Oh, fine. But are we really being honest? Are we really trying to delve into people's lives? And, you know, are we being transparent ourselves? Are we just saying fine when we know we're hurting inside and we're not willing to share? So I think that could be a weakness.
Excellent. And so we're moving it now. Surface relationships. I just asked a question. Are we transparent ourselves? Very good. Okay, Mark, and then good Carrie.
I was going to say, perhaps one of our weaknesses is that we are so organized as a church from top to bottom that it's too easy to assume we don't have individual responsibilities. So when somebody has a need within a class, our first thought is, well, they'll call Angela, they'll call the front office, they'll call the Sunday school teacher. But perhaps we're actually the rescue line right sitting beside them that needs to jump up and take action at that point.
So organization itself may indeed at times be an impediment. You know,
letting others assume because of organization it will get taken care of, and indeed it might fall through the crack. We need to individually.
That's really an outstanding point. And I think that's what I was saying this morning when I was saying, Mark, that a church is not the organization of people. It is the demonstration of the grace of God. And we're not discounting organization. And you're not discounting, are you? You're not discounting organization. But this is a weakness because it can get so organized that somebody else will take care of it. Okay, good. Carrie, and then back to Tim.
Just to kind of coincide with what Mark had to say, that our ministries that are organized structures and are meant to provide text and relationships, sometimes they are more of a stepping stone to give entrance into relationships, but I think it's very easy to get a surface contact and during Sunday school and have just enough to feel like I've made a little bit of a connection. But then the tendency is not to go deep and form those relationships that really only happen one-on-one or in smaller settings like the home or going out to coffee. And I think that there's a danger there of maybe kind of taking for granted that this is all we need because we go to Sunday school and that's enough till next week.
Can I ask you a question, Carrie, on this? Since you've articulated that, can this be managed, or I don't want to use the word forced, but for lack of a better term, can this? I think Heidi brought this up too about surface relationships. Can this be forced by the church? Can we say, okay, now we're all going to have, this time, or is it something that the members have to take upon themselves and to begin to go hard after other people? I'm asking this. Not pointedly, I'm just asking this with a broad brush here.
I think Pat said it nicely when we met earlier, that it's most effective when it's the mindset and the heartbeat of every member, because we can have lots of programs in place, but if our eyes aren't tuned to see somebody hurting, or we don't notice that somebody's been missing 3 Sundays in a row and maybe somebody should call to see if they're sick and they need a meal, you know, it's something that we have to embrace as individuals and not wait to be asked to be part of a ministry team before we carry those things out.
Okay. Tim, you were going to say something.
I was pretty much going to say the same thing. Talking it over with Marilyn at home, it seems like the things that have the most impact are things that we stumble over and realize, oh, there is a need here, and intrude, or in however you might express that, become available. And I think about in the past that has sometimes meant, okay, there's a wedding coming up, we've got to prepare for the wedding, it's going to mean a setup, in the gym, and it's on such and such a night. And that wasn't maybe what I was thinking to do for that night. And yet, there's some help needed. And in the process of doing that activity, there is a lot. There's getting to know people on a personal level. And it's those kinds of things, the unstructured but real needs, or it could mean you're helping somebody putting a floor in, or you're taking meals to a family or something that it's not programmed. I tend to think that has more power, influence, benefit, impact as far as communicating love. The need might still get met through the program, but it may get met with this communication of love, or it may not. So what we add to that by responding when we see it and taking action and trying to personally get involved, that's more the heartbeat of what we're talking about out of Acts.
Let me just ask you all a question here. Have you ever, either be this church or any other church, you've had in your church experience, you've talked with somebody who said, I just don't seem to fit. Let me just see your hands. You've talked to somebody that said that along those lines. I didn't have to say those. Okay, so well more than half of you have done that. So then, you know, the question is, if somebody says that to you, you know, do we try to find a program? And what I'm hearing you guys say, it may not necessarily be a program. Maybe just us taking them over the house and the hospitality going back here. Yes. Okay. Adam and then Captain Olson.
I was just going to say, I think, too, you know, culturally we stay so busy and we allow that to pave our lifestyle rather than allowing what Mark's been saying and Tim's been saying and Carrie and Heidi and everybody else. You know, Christ should be the one that's paving the way for us. That should be our mindset. Is in terms of ministry, in terms of meeting needs and showing love for the body. And so, I mean, I struggle with that myself. I mean, am I so busy that I can't take a meal to somebody? Am I so busy that I can't have breakfast or lunch with somebody?
Captain Olson?
There's one thing that we have the diversity in a number of ways in the church, but there's not a lot of diversities with ethnicity, race, and I don't know if that's a weakness, but are we making it not comfortable for someone who feels they're a minority? I don't know that we're consciously doing that, but maybe unconsciously, and that's just as bad. If when people come in, can we make them feel at home that they belong here? It relates somewhat to the previous one, but I'm thinking specifically of that kind of diversity.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Anybody else want to comment on this? Matt?
With the structure idea that was stated a little bit earlier, I think one weakness is that because we do offer so many things that people can tend to go in a lot of different directions. And when we get to opportunities, we'll get how we can help with that. But I think that can be a weakness, that we're over-structured in the sense that we have so many ministries that we have a lot of people that are involved in a lot of ministries. Of course, we have some people that aren't involved in any ministries. So there's a personal weakness, too. But organizationally, that can be a weakness to have so many things going on.
Okay. And I think that was mentioned up here. The organization at times may even be an impediment, and we don't become sensitive to needs. Okay? Good. Adam?
Pastor, I just one more comment. You know, it was like the joke you told this morning about the Bema seat. But, you know, sometimes we get in routines, and we don't want to leave our routine. You know, we're here at 10. We're gone at 12. We take our nap. We're back at, you know, 5. You know, that could be a weakness. I mean, where we don't want to take the time to go out of our way because we have this routine, and it's our routine. We don't want to change it. And I don't know. I don't know if that's a weakness or not. I mean, routine's not a bad thing. But
we just have to be careful with the routine. Pat, did you want to say something?
Just a brief comment. I feel compelled because the discussion we had earlier amongst us, we could, and I think everybody needs to understand it, and it's certainly true from our perspective, myself and my family, we could probably fill up this board with the strengths. Many of the comments that were made within that group, there were multiple strengths, and I could mention 4 or 5 off the top of my head. So even though, and I appreciate what we're doing here. I don't want to lose sight that, and it's unfortunate that this church does stand out amongst many. it's a very strong church, and I think that the what you touched on last week, the topic of text, and that being the first pillar that you discussed, is critical, and we appreciate that so much. So I just wanted to make as a general comment, there are so many strengths in this church.
I think also, too, that some of our greatest strengths can also open the way for becoming weaknesses, and I think that that's what I see coming here. And this is the concern that I have, assimilation to the course. I would just ask us to think that if somebody does come to us and say, I'm struggling with getting assimilated into the core, I feel like I'm struggling getting into, you know, the church, you know, how do you direct them? What do you say to them? Because there is no program. This is how you get assimilated into the church. We're just a group of people, as Acts 2 says, and we want to fellowship one with another. So maybe we can think along this line. Matt, you were talking just a few moments ago as we move to opportunities, because I know our time is fastly going here, but as we move to opportunities, you know, if we really get this right, if we get community right, and we really have a heart for one another, we really want to, you know, assimilate brothers and sisters, what kind of doors is this going to open up? What's that going to look like?
I was going to make a comment that under opportunity, sometimes I feel like if somebody asked me to start running a marathon race, I wouldn't start off by practicing at 27 miles or whatever it is. I'd start off practicing at half a mile, maybe then a mile. I think we could break down the problem individually and try to set a little goal for each of ourselves. For me individually, each week, meet one person I haven't known before, and each week look for one need that I might be able to minister in some way, shape, or form, little, medium, or large. And just set a small goal of once a week, find someone you don't know, maybe they need assimilating, or find somebody who needs a little bit of care or a little bit of encouragement. And take that little goal, and if we all did a little bit across the entire congregation, I think it would be an amazing transformation and a great opportunity to take the steps we need to really being prepared for that marathon.
Things like taking them out to Starbucks, meeting them at Starbucks. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the home. You know, that's a great place to be, but maybe there's other things like that. I don't know. Okay. Excellent beginning. Start with the individual member itself, okay, and work from there.
Yeah, if I could just offer an example. Every week we send the bulletin out by email on Fridays, and for the last couple of weeks I've considered actually putting in a note to many of you who are on that just to say we have so many visitors in our Sunday services that no one person can meet them all. And if all of us collectively do not turn to the stranger next to us and say, hello, I haven't met you yet, that's your door for perhaps meeting a longtime member and making a friend, but perhaps you're the tool then to welcome someone brand new to the congregation, make them feel welcome and comfortable when many times they don't.
Okay, so meeting new faces, when you see a new face. Sometimes we say, well, I don't know if I should say because they told me their name 3 weeks ago and I can't remember what they told me. Have you done that? Yeah, okay. So, by the way, you know the key on this now. When you meet somebody, there's a way you remember their names, okay? And the way that you remember their names is in that conversation, you have to repeat their name 3 times when you're talking with them in that initial conversation. Okay? Because if you don't do it 3 times, then it's going to go out. So if I see somebody out there and we meet, there's Euless back there, and I said, my name is Pastor Dan. He says, my name is Euless. I'm going to say, Euless. Where'd you get that name, Euless? We're going to talk. And we're going to talk about Euless because I want to make sure I get Euless in my mind. Okay? But that's really something that's important. So when you talk with somebody, look them right in the eye. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Don't look down at their shoes. Look them right in the eye and repeat their name back to them 3 times. Okay? Then, after you do it 3 times, you've almost got it. You're 90% there. The last thing that you do is as you're walking away, you just say, Dear Lord, please help me remember their name. Wait a second. But you can lift them up, can't you? Lord bless Euless, okay? All right? But isn't that important? You know, people will say, well, Pastor Danny, you seem to be remembering names. Well, I tell you, I struggle with it, but I would say this, that it does take mentioning their name to them. Secondly, asking my wife, did I get their name right? And then thirdly, is mentioning their name to the Lord and just praying through the membership. So very, very important things that we're thinking here. Okay, Tim, go.
The opportunity that we would want to take advantage of is meeting the real needs and that are in our fellowship. I think of people that are lonely and are isolated, and Christianity may not mean a whole lot for them. And I think, really, we ourselves need the invigoration of seeing the power of God at work where it can, outside of our normal channels, where we could potentially connect with people that are somewhat different age level, seeing the power of God, being a part of that process. We need the freshness of change in our own hearts. So the opportunity to meet needs that are among us that otherwise are going to go unmet, the need for us to not be ho-hum in our inner attitude about the Christian life.
Pastor Matt, I wonder if you could just address briefly one of the things that we have talked about in staff is that we don't want to overstructure and overorganize, but you know maybe we should consider more, especially for men. I had a conversation today with somebody who's not a member of the church about men. Should we try to open up for more opportunities for men to meet in a small group? I mean, you've been doing this now for how many years? 3-4 years?
About 6 years.
6 years,
actually.
Okay.
Organizational structure can be a detriment, but it also can be a great support to what we're trying to do, you know, as believers. And one of the best reasons for that is because most of us are very busy. I mean, we just live in a world that's full of distraction and full of things and stuff and meetings and, you know, sporting events and all of these things. So what structure can do is it can help us to be able to maximize the things that are really important. And so one of the things we've been talking about with the staff is we do a lot of good things as a church. We have a lot of strong ministries, and we've been doing a lot of those things for a long time. And those things aren't bad, but are all of those the best way to support our essentials? And one of those things is in this area of community. And the problem is, okay, we talked about maybe having a, you know, maybe men's small groups or women's small groups or mixed, you know, small groups, families or couples or whatever. There's all kinds of different ways that you can do this. But the problem is we can't add something else to our already busy schedules, right? I mean, how many of you can add something, you know, to your schedule? Probably hardly anybody, maybe a couple, but most of us cannot. And so the difficulty comes in, you know, okay, well, do we take something out? Or, you know, how do we restructure things? And, you know, that can be difficult because, and this is kind of jumping to threats, a threat can be traditionalism in our minds, that this is the way church needs to be. And if we change church, you know, from how we've been doing it and it's worked for us, then we're doing something wrong. So all that to be said, that's kind of brings you up to speed on 2 years of conversation. But at the same time, I think there are things where we are in our culture that people desire to have conversation together about things that really matter. And like I was just saying to these guys in our before this, that it was great to be able to sit in a room and have an hour to commit to nothing but just talking about application of the sermon this morning. And, yeah, I mean, that, it'd be great if that takes place at lunchtime with other people or with our family or, you know, with other people. That would be great. But the fact of the matter is that can't always happen, you know, every time. And so that's what we've been discussing. Would it be helpful for us as a church to have some kind of restructuring so that we could support community in our church? And it's we wouldn't want to take anything away. But would this help strengthen this essential? And that's really basically, I think, where we're at. And we haven't made any decisions, and we want you to help us in, you know, in forming this.
Can we jump into threats because our was getting close to six. If we really do community right, what are those threats? I think you mentioned changing the way we do church. So something more mentally that some people may have to go through, because it's compromise if we do it in a non-traditional way, but we still are in their minds, and so they sort of have to be restructured a little bit on that. Is that kind of what you were thinking, Matt, on that? Okay. I don't want to be putting words in your mouth. I want to make sure I get that right. Okay, what other threats would you guys see? If we do community right and we really encourage people to fellowship and to do these things, you know, what threats are out there that are going to try to break us up?
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
With kind of in this line with structure and everything? The problem with a big church is that there's no way that I can know everybody and know everybody's needs. And there's no way that any one person can know everybody. And so with organizational structure, if we can do something to help make our church feel smaller to the individuals, then I think that's a helpful thing. So one thing that we've done is the Deacon Care program.
Yes.
We're already seeing that that's been very helpful in our deacons meetings. We've been discussing things. We're more aware of what things are happening. I think a lot of people in here have been benefited by that. So, you know, there are things that we can do and need to do as an organization to move forward in this way.
I just put down, I don't know if that really fits under threats, but I think it's a very good point, just becoming more aware because of the smaller groups. And that can tend to take up some time. If you find out there's a need, that means that it's going to take some time for you to help with that particular need.
But now that we know we don't have to come to church on Wednesday night, we'll have more time to take...
Leave it to a pastor. Okay, what else? Adam, go ahead.
I don't know if this is really a threat, but if... I don't know if we would call... Maybe there is this idea of potentially a new program. I don't want to use the word program, but this new idea. But maybe But since we have other mechanisms in place, there could be redundancy, there could be overlap, and so are we coming to a place where we're in terms of community, where, like, I look at my Sunday school class, I look at the Deacon Care, I look at small groups, I look at some other things, there's a lot of overlap. You know, how do we know that a specific need is being met? Oh, so and so took care of it, or this took care of it. I mean, it would be kind of, you know, it'd be kind of nice to maybe simplify, you know, the whole idea of the weaknesses, maybe having too many programs, but to simplify it. You know, I don't know if I'm making sense, but the idea of trying to simplify it, make it very user-friendly,
Yeah. You
know?
I think this is the importance of when you think of what we're doing here with the pillars. These five things have got to be there on a theology of grace, but the applications can change as long as we are doing these things that are here. And so I think we're sort of thinking along. We want to be able to ask the right questions. I'm not sure if I'm asking the right questions or we're thinking the right way. So I'm glad for this forum to do that. What else? Yes, Pat.
I think there's a danger if we begin to focus too much on verse 47 when it says, and 3,000 were added, the numbers were added. If we start to focus on the church growth issue, there's a real danger within that, because then we may forget the first part of 47, which God added to their number.
Good.
It's up to Him who is added to this church body, this location at 2221 Center. It's up to Him. It's not up to our programs or we need to do the things that the text teaches us to do and shows us to do, and God will use that in a way that He chooses.
Okay, very good. Anything else? Captain, and then Tim?
Just that growth isn't limited to numbers. And really what we're looking at here is a communal growth in Christ's likeness. And if that happens, I think the numbers would take care of themselves, as you say, because God's the one that's going to add. And the other threat is, you know, we become satisfied with the way things are. We know it's always right to be... focus on the Word of God, and we don't. I know nobody wants to become Pharisaical, but I do think that there is a threat to becoming self-satisfied, and that's why it's good to go through things like this, as long as we're willing to to change when God shows us.
And I hope people will see that, you know, we don't want to be complacent. That might be a good word that we could use here. And just say, well, things are going along well, and it's a well-oiled machine. But that you would understand that we're seeking to be like Jesus, which means there's a big gap between us and where Jesus is in the body of Christ. And this is a concern that I have. I have a great concern just with American Christianity. I have a great concern with church life and how people are saying we do church, but church is an event. That's how they do church. It's an event. And it's not a way of life. And I think that's what we're trying to retool and to rethink and try to help us as a church understand that tomorrow morning, you're still part of the congregation. So how are you going to minister? You know, what are you going to do tomorrow to minister? I know that everybody here, you know, it's not that you're a deacon here or that you're an usher here, but what are you going to do to minister because you're part of the body? And I think that's the mindset we've got to get people in and really help them move, you know, down this path. Tim, you were going to say something before we close.
I remember in the afternoon, just before now, when we were huddling and you commented on the topic of weaknesses, how we could fill the whole board up with weaknesses.
Yeah.
And it just seems like that the answer to that is, and there's the complexity, the competing dynamics that we're talking about of organization and less organization and simplicity and adding more. Just prayer would seem to be a very central component. And because it's too complex, there's too many things that there are not enough of us to go around, and there's too many weaknesses within each of us. So to share that burden in prayer would be important. And when we have times in prayer, say on a Wednesday night, to make that those needs part of our heart's cry to God, to meet, fill in some of those gaps, whether we figured out a way or not, to help us in this whole arena of community. That would be a thought.
Let me give you a test for community. You ready for it? Okay, here's the test. The test is you take our membership booklet, they're out there in the Welcome Center, and you go through each family in the membership booklet, and you check off every person you know. Okay? And then the next thing that you do is you want to make sure that you can, next week, be able to check off somebody else. So I really encourage you. You can pray for people. You know, Colossians 2:1 says, I prayed for you, Paul says. I agonized for you. And I've never even seen your face. So you can do that. That's what you're talking about, Tim. You can do that. You can pray. It's biblical to pray for people you don't know. Colossians 2:1. But it also is biblical for us to say, okay, let me just, maybe my Sunday school class. Maybe you're in a Sunday school class and it just seems large to you. Then let's break that down. You begin to think through people that maybe you can have over. You can be hospitable to. You can get to know. You can go after. Because I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, if I am coming to this church to have my needs met, I'm done. Because I'm not getting my needs met at Colonial Baptist Church. Okay? Because our needs are felt needs. Our needs are maybe personality things. Our needs are, you know, there are other things. But where I'm really want us to be encouraged about is we can go to Christ, we can go to His Word, we have a text-centered ministry, and in the Word, we are going to find what David experienced in 1 Samuel 30. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And then you'll be amazed how God brings people in your path that will indeed build you up, that will be an Aaron and Hur to hold you up. But let God do that, but you become a committee of one going after people who are lonely, who are people who are of different color, people who don't quite fit. I just say, brothers and sisters, you've got to go after them. You've got to do this. It's just look in your own family. You know, look in your own family, and you look at your kids. And I know some of your parents have said, "Where did that kid come from? He's different than the rest. She's different from the rest." Okay, my parents said that about me. All right, in my family. But it's okay because, you know, Adele Foss means from the same womb. And so, okay, they come from the same womb, but they're different. And you've got to deal with each child differently. If you deal with them the same way, you're in big trouble. But that's what we got to do with members. Everybody's different. And you got to deal with them in different ways. And we just cannot create another program to meet this group and create another program to meet that group. But there are enough people here tonight and variety that there are people who think just like you and act like you and vote like you and, you know, all that kind of thing. And it's now just praying, say, God, okay, just lead me. Help me to be a committee of one to make a difference in people's lives. And I really think that will make a difference. Let's finish. Let's finish. Ephesians 2. Can we finish Ephesians 2? Read the holy text. We'll stand in just a minute. Read. Thank you so much, panel. They're just a blessing. Thank you last Sunday night before last. It's hard to believe, but we've only got three more pillars left, and then the missions conference. So, Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, follow along if you will. Beginning in verse 11, and we'll go to verse 22. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that you were once pagans in the flesh, called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. That at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no hope, and you were without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were like that, far off, have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both, that's Jew and Gentile, both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition. That ethnic wall is down, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to create in himself one new man from the two, Jew and Gentile, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, this hatred. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off, to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints. You're members of God's house. You are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, not the foundation now, it's laid. It's us, the building. In him, the whole building is being fitted together, and we grow into what kind of temple in the Lord? What kind of temple? What does it say? Okay, this is the church growth that Captain Olson was speaking out. Some people look at numbers, and that's okay, but I'm looking for quality of life, that you are growing into a holy temple. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. As a holy temple, God dwells in you. We are God's sanctuary. So tomorrow, you're going to go to a tough place, and you're going to go work, and you're God's sanctuary. Okay? And brothers and sisters, we'll be praying for you. Would you pray for me? And then I pray for you. We pray for one another. This is a significant aspect in our life. Let's pray. Lord, you've heard our words tonight. I thank you for this panel who has shared from their heart concerning these important things. Lord, we have strengths, and we thank you for strengths. We have weaknesses. We have cavities, spiritual cavities that need to be filled, and we don't know how to do it. We want people to be encouraged in their walk with Jesus. I fear some people don't understand church. It's all about meeting my need and doing this for me, and they've never seen themselves as church. They do the work of the ministry. So, Lord, help us to serve properly. Help us to understand this, and Lord, this may be as the next pillar we go to in serving. It's very important so we can implement community, so that we can serve the body and what that means and what that looks like. So, Lord, it's a very natural step for us now to go from text to community to serving. So Lord, just teach us. Even this week, give us opportunities to serve. There are people in our fellowship hurting. They're hurting physically. They're hurting emotionally. They're hurting financially. There are just tons of people with needs. I mean, as Moses said, who can bear it? Who can bear it? Who is sufficient for these things, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3. So, Lord, would you lay it upon these people? If every person here just became a committee of one to go find somebody, help somebody, encourage somebody, pray for somebody, Lord, what an incredible difference that would make. Teens, singles, young couples, middle age, grandparents. Lord, we all need the direction of the Spirit to build community so we can serve the body. So, Lord, we're excited about today. We thank you for today. We're excited about moving into the serving aspect next week. And so I pray that you will help us, Lord, as a body, to very carefully and with measured steps think through the essentials. And then, Lord, would you help us be creative in our applications so that it may not look, colonial may not look, you know, 2 years from now like it does tonight. That's okay. As long as the essentials are there and the theology is there and the text is preeminent, the Word of God is being announced publicly. Lord, just help us, we pray. Teach us, mold us, make us. We thank you tonight for these 9 people who have given of themselves to minister to us. Encourage them, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask all of these things. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thanks.